and good afternoon to you. You're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina on Conservative Talk 94.5 WGTK in Greenville, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz, and I need to get this out of the way before rumors get started and people's feelings get hurt. Today is my anniversary. Happy anniversary, Debbie. 23 years. I must say, from a guy who has deer and ducks and fish on his wall, that I would make a pretty poor trophy if you mounted me. So whatever she has done for the last 23 years to put up with me, I really appreciate it, because I'm sure it has not been an easy job. But, you know, think about it is I was at an archery shoot this morning for my daughter. She's shooting the National Archery and School Program. They have like three qualifying shoots to make the competition team for next spring. So I was with Debbie this morning, and my mom and her parents were there too. So one big happy family situation. And I left there and went to Taco Casa to get lunch on my way to the studio. And of course, when you've been eating there for over 30 years and most of your friends have been eating there for over 30 years, you tend to run into a few of them here and there. And you know, there were several of them there, and they all came by. I saw where it's your anniversary today. Where's your wife? I asked for a day off. No, I did not do that. I did not ask for a day off. They can do that. We can't. But so before anybody gets, you know, yeah, I ate lunch by myself, but I was in transition. I'm going home this evening, and we're going to go out and have a nice dinner together. And anyway, but I wanted to get that out there before any rumors got started about, you know, me taking a day off from my wife. let's see. We're gonna get political today. You know, I don't know how much elephants weigh, 2,000-pound elephant in the room, and we're gonna talk about it, because I get eternally frustrated with the news media, as most people do, and I normally don't go political on the show, but this is a gun issue, or it applies to a gun issue. It's not a gun issue; it's a people issue, but it's so much of it out there and so much misinformation. I just want to go through a little bit of it. We're not going to spend the whole show on that. I've got today starts Christmas on Woods and Water, South Carolina. So I've got something to give away to the fly guys out there. And we're going to have Scott Hammond from Hadrill's Point in Charleston. And normally this time of the year, I do a Christmas wish for the outdoorsman in your life type thing. But I figured this year I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I'm lit. Some stores and shops around South Carolina, tell us what they think you need to buy for that sportsman or outdoorsman or hiker camper on your list. So that's going to be the first edition of that today. My brother, I got to say, hey, you know, he was on the show with me before Thanksgiving, had a great time. Hope you enjoyed that show. It was kind of fun. Have to have him back on and do some serious stuff next time. But he got back here from Texas today. Been out there for a week deer hunting. I understand he called me and said he had shot a mule deer white tail hybrid, had the body of a mule deer, the antlers of a white tail. It's kind of cool. They're hunting in a northwest Texas, I guess you'd call it, around Post, out that way. So he made it back home safely, had a good time. He did tell me, and this is funny, when you go on these week-long adventures and all, you can get tired of it. He said, I believe it was Wednesday night, he was already in bed like at 8 o'clock, and he said, I'm tired of camo. And he said, I'm going to give it one last shot in the morning, and I'm done. He says, I'm just used up after 4 or 5 days. So we do get tired of it every once in a while. But you know, you're really getting old when you do what I pulled last night this morning. I kind of made plans to get up and go hunt this morning because it was, you know, cold. It wasn't exactly the right wind I wanted. But, you know, season's running down, and come January the 2nd, I'm going to wish I'd gone a couple more times. So anyway, I'd set my alarm and all. You know you're getting old when you turn your hunting alarm off before you go to sleep. You just know you're not, it's not going to happen. So anyway, a lot of, oh, and for football, just one more, just off the wall thing. I don't have anything that says Clemson or UNC. I'm sorry. I'm just not into it, but I do have a Carolina Blue Low Country Fly Shop on, Low Country Fly Shop shirt on today, and a orange-ish colored Flood Tide company hat. So I'm trying to make it. And the best thing about today is my daughter's CSU Buccaneers are leading the Citadel 14-3, and this is the playoffs for them. So, you know, I guess I'm being drug into it because she's having such a fun time. Real quick, let's get a few calendar events items out of the way. and then we'll get on to the rest of the show. The Palmetto Trail, you know, there's a lot of damage on the Palmetto Trail, and I know in past calendar events I've said some things about this, but a couple of items from them. First of all, the ladies, the December ladies hike. You know, if you join the Palmetto Trail, you get to go do this stuff as an inclusive group. You can go, I believe, as a guest. You may have to join, but they do some really neat things. We've had Mary Rowe on before. We're going to have her on again. But they every month they have a ladies hike, which I think is really cool. This time around, December the 12th, it's going to be the Lake Marion Passage of the Palmetto Trail, and it skirts the high water mark of the on the lake's north side between Santee and Mill Creek County Park. It does say the length is 6 miles. This is an easy difficulty level. The trailhead, Santee Town Hall Complex, they're going to meet at 10:30. If you're a member and want to carpool, they carpool from Columbia starting at 7 a.m. Bring comfortable shoes, appropriate clothing, plenty of water, and lunch snacks. It's free for PCF members, $10 for non-members. It sustained a lot of damage, no doubt about it, with the flooding. So Wednesday work days, they're going to do the Iwandaw Passage, Bog Bridge work day. That's going to be December the 12th. So if you want to volunteer, you can go down there. They're in the beginning stages of building a new 60-foot bog bridge along the passage. They can continue that work on December the 12th. If you want to be a part of that, go to the Palmetto Trails website. That's the problem when you get emails from people. You don't have the websites. I believe it's palmettoconservationfoundation.org. And you can find more information, register, and get involved. I mean, it's a cool trail, and it's a South Carolina trail from, you know, what's the recreation area down there in Iwandaw? Buck Hall runs from there all the way up and terminates in Pickens County. And they've got some passages to finish, but just a really unique South Carolina thing. If you're going to be around Charleston, Sunday, December the 20th, and this is, again, kind of a little bit off, Open Cockpit Sunday at Patriots Point Naval and Maritime Museum. A lot of you have seen the USS Yorktown sitting out there in the harbor from the bridge or from the island, or if you've driven down that road and seen it. They're Open Cockpit, you know, it's open all the time. It's a great place to go visit as a family, just historical-wise, just really cool. You can watch the movies, put your hands on things you would normally not do. Open Cockpit Days, guests are given the unique opportunity to climb and look inside many of the museum's most historic aircraft, including an SBD Dauntless Dive Bomber, the F-9 Cougar, which is one of the first jets in the Navy inventory, an S-3 Viking, an HC Sea King, which is a helicopter that was based off the carrier, an F-18 Hornet, and an A-6 Intruder. They'll also have the chance to explore the H-1 Huey and the CH-46 helicopters in the new interactive Vietnam Experience exhibit. So if you're going to be down there, the museum is open from 9 to 6:30. Open Cockpit starts at 10 and runs to 4. So just a cool thing if you're going to be down around Charleston on the 20th of December. Probably one of the last ones of the year. If you're going hiking up in the mountains, you want to do a twofer, go check out Mr. King's book on upstate waterfall hikes. Get you a waterfall hike. Music on the Mountain at Table Rock State Park is drawing to a close for the year. This is December the 12th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. You go to the lodge. You know, the museum musicians are going to come. They're going to play. Just a neat day. Remember, it's time to combine these things. Go hiking and then go, you know, get you a good meal at Aunt Sue's or something for lunch, and then go listen to good bluegrass music. Final item, Working for Wildlife Day. This is Carolina Sandhills National Wildlife Refuge, Saturday, December the 13th. That's wrong. That is so wrong. I wonder how that got in. That's from 2014. Oh, well, I guess when you do enough of these calendar event things, you're going to find some errors. And I don't know how that one got in my book. But anyway, I know they still have a work day. It's a Sandhills work day. That's over near it's in Chesterfield near Mackby, South Carolina. You can go to the scwf.org website and get more information on that. Hang on, when we come back, we're going to talk about this, what happened this week. It's a real tragedy, but it needs some clarification. Hang on through the break. We'll be back on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, it's always nice to know that people listen to the show, and especially sponsors, because without them, this would not be happening. Some of you may wish this was not happening, but anyway, I just got a text from one of my sponsors. He says, happy anniversary to you and Debbie. I'm suggesting her for a Jefferson Award. Now, I don't know what a Jefferson Award is, but somehow this just seems like a slap at me. But I know what he's coming from. She does deserve pretty much every award she gets. And, you know, speaking of sponsors, and I had this on my list for today. I might as well go ahead and do it now since I'm really not following any format today. This show wouldn't happen without my sponsors. And I tell everyone I meet, when you hear those sponsor ads during the week and you go to those places, tell them. You know, they don't have any way of knowing whether what they're spending to sponsor this show is doing any good unless you tell them. I can tell them. I can thank them, and I do. I work with them. I try to figure out ways we can advertise better for them. Writing ads, getting approved, timing and all that. That's what we do together. But they don't know unless you tell them if that's doing any good. So I just want to run through. There's eight of them that sponsor me this year. Aiken Enterprises. If you need trailer lights, brakes, they handle all that. Our new hookups on your new car for a 2-inch hitch ball, they do all that right there. It's on Stone Avenue in Greenville. They also do pressure washers, rentals. They fix pressure washers if you have one. It's kind of a niche area. That's their thing. They've been here for over 40 years. You know, you're not in business that long unless you're doing something right. AmeriCraft Furniture in Greer, South Carolina. It's my father-in-law's business. He was one of the first ones when I talked about doing this show, and I'm sure he was thinking, what is my son-in-law doing? They jumped in. They are, you know, family always gets behind you first. They know I appreciate them. I don't say it enough, but, you know, if you have redoing a house, kitchen cabinets, bathroom cabinets, furniture, tables, I mean, whatever you're doing, they can help you. And it's custom furniture. The craftsmanship is incredible. I know that because I can't afford it. So, you know, if you need anything like the building a new house, AmeriCraft Furniture in Greer is who you need to talk to. Blue Ridge Auto, another good friend of mine, automotive shop. They're in Greer. In fact, just a couple of doors up from AmeriCraft on Locust Hill Road or Highway 25 or at Highway 290. You know, a mechanic is, you know, right in there with your, not in the same light, but when you find a good attorney, you stick with them. When you find a good mechanic, you stick with them too. And that's what Milton and those at Blue Ridge Auto do. They treat you right. They stand behind their work. And I encourage you, if you need a mechanic, just a small shop, but you get personal service. And that's what most people want when they have service. GS Mechanical. Another client, friend of mine that I've had for going on 13, 14 years now, do my HVAC work, inspect my house, insist them twice a year, are there. Last year, my air conditioning went out when I was in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Of course, it was 104 degrees here when it went out. My wife calls them, they came out. Rather than sell me a whole new thing, they figured out a way to fix what I had. And it didn't, you know, it cost them some money, but it, that's against service. And they didn't do it just because of me. That's just the way they conduct business. Low Country Fly Shop. I tell you, if you're a fly fisherman, you know, they had the Western North Carolina Fly Fishing Expo up here this weekend. I don't think Scotty and those came. They were having some things going on in Charleston this weekend. But if you're a fly fisherman, whether it's mountains, coast, Alaska, when I went to Alaska, Scotty tied me up about 40 flies for Alaska because he guided up there for 8 years. You know, he guides down on the coast. He comes up here. He goes to Lake Murray striper fishing. I mean, that shop, those guys know what you need. They're not going to sell you something you don't need, like, you know, Academy or something out of their fly shop where those guys probably don't know anything about it. So Low Country Fly Shop in Mount Pleasant, another sponsor. Outdoor Underwriters in Columbia, South Carolina. When you join National Wild Turkey Federation, Quality Deer Management Association, look at those websites. They offer the insurance packages. Outdoor Underwriters, who you're dealing with. Ed and Ben down there and their whole staff, really, the Mudins are really cool offices. If you're ever in Columbia and want to go by there, Stone Ridge Drive in Columbia, right there on the same exit as Riverbank Zoo. You know, an outdoor office. You get off that elevator, you know exactly who does what in that office, because it's just one of those places with atmosphere. That's what you're looking for. But they do a great job. They have all sorts of insurance policies for landowners, hunt clubs. Even if you want to have a single day event and you're worried about liability for a shooting event or a hunt you're putting on for kids, that's who to contact. Ben just started a C3 Outdoors. We're going to have more about that. It's about taking kids here in South Carolina hunting, and their spiritual life is one of the main goals. Plaza Coins and Knives right here in Greenville. If you can't live in South Carolina not own a knife. So all you people coming in, you need a knife. And for most people that buy one, they'll buy two, three, four. And they've got some great knives. Benchmade, SOG, Chris Reeves, some really expensive knives, and they have Case and Boker. And besides, they have, you know, coin collecting. There's not much of that going on. Just because kids, you know, they'd rather sit in front, behind the computer. But, you know, you need silver, gold, collectibles. They've got that. And safes. You know, there's a lot of people buying guns. I've got a story about that, too, if I ever get to it. Champion Safes, probably one of the best ones out there. In fact, Judd will tell you it's the best one out there because he's done a lot of research before he started carrying a safe line. You got a lot of guns. There is a safety issue. There's an issue of keeping them from being stolen. You need a safe. That's who you need to go to, Champion Safes. I mean, these are all small businesses. Last one is South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. You know, when you have an outdoor show in South Carolina, it's kind of nice to have the wildlife agency of the state behind you. And I know we have a lot of DNR people on. We are actually coming up the second Saturday in January. We won't do it right after the first, but that next Saturday, we're going to do a whole show on the proposed deer regulations. And I want you all to be involved in that. It's going to be a really good show, working with Charles Ruth to get that done. But the Department of Natural Resources, you know, you hear plenty of people say, oh, Mr. Green Jeans is just out there to give me a ticket and make my life hard and all that. They're not out there to make your life hard. They're out there to keep you safe. And you know, whether on the water, doing boating checks or ticketing you for not wearing that life jacket, you know, might seem a small thing, but a life jacket is one of those things. If you don't have it on and you need it, it's too late. Enforcing the wildlife, you know, the game laws. It's a renewable resource, but it's a very fragile resource. And I know a lot of people don't like these proposed deer regulations, but they're doing the best they can in the political atmosphere they have to deal with here in South Carolina to, you know, make sure that is still around for not only us, but for our kids and the next few generations down. Between habitat loss, coyotes, you know, the old Brown and Down theory. You know, they have a hard job, and really nobody loves them. But they get respect from the show, and they will for as long as – forever. I mean, you know, they just do a great job. So those are the sponsors. And I stress to you again, when you go into these places, even if you don't buy something, you know, yeah, buying something is obviously what you want to do when you advertise. You want to sell things. But just at least know that you're listening. Let them know that you're listening. You hear their ads. And this show is doing some good, and I appreciate all of them. A lot of those, in fact, six of those sponsored me before I'd been on ever been on the air. So I owe a lot to those people. And, you know, I hope what I'm doing here is giving them something in return. And I hope you'll give them something in return when you go, especially in the Christmas season, to shop. So anyway, that took longer, but that's a very important part of this show. And I wouldn't be here without them. So thanks, sponsors, and you people out there shopping. Go visit them. They're small business. What money you spend there stays here. That's the neat thing about small business. That's why you'll not hear a big box store advertised on this show. You just won't. Okay. 2,000-pound elephant in the room. What happened Monday is a sad thing. It, you know, and I'm sure if you've listened to any talk radio, well, you've probably heard all this before, but I get so frustrated when reading and listening and all. I have to, every once in a while, I have to take a little jaunt down a rabbit trail and address it. And of course, the first thing you heard was these were gun rights extremists. I mean, while this thing was still going on and you know, 14 people just been killed. The news media was saying, oh, these are, oh, I don't know, radical conservatives, if you want to say that. You know, they obviously they have an agenda and everybody knows it. But when it finally came out that this is a terrorist attack, you know, this is probably one of the saddest events because, you know, once this happens, it's not going to stop here type thing. And it, part of me almost hoped it was workplace violence. Because once you cross this line, I know we've had several of these happen before now, but there were classified workplace violence or whatever to keep from being terror. But now the FBI has come out and pretty much everybody knew it shortly after it happened, just by the way things were coming out. But, you know, we've had a terrorist attack on our soil, and it's amazing the people that come out. And before this thing was over, they knew who had done it, and they were attacking gun owners, the NRA, you know, practically before the air had cleared. And that frosts me. It really does, because it's like somebody said the other day, let me give you a list of the members of the NRA who have ever committed a mass murder. Well, there's not one. You know, the armed citizen, and I've got a lot of research on the Second Amendment that I'm not going to get to today. I can see that already. You know, the average person driving down Wade Hampton Boulevard, I-26, Dorchester Road in Charleston, wherever you want to go, the average person who probably has a gun in his car, because that's the way our South Carolina Constitution reads, and we're fortunate to live in a state that not only protects that right but encourages that right, they're not the ones you've got to be worried about, people. They're not the ones who are threatening, who need to have their guns taken away from them. See, I look at it the other way. You need us, because most of those same people are the ones that don't own guns. They trash us every chance they get. They're always the, just like Cecil the Lion, you know, oh, it's flash in the pan. You know, they jump to their preordained conclusions. But, you know, when things like this happen, you're going to hope that one of us is in that room with you. And just think about that. If one of those people in that room, because what happened was those guys came in, I think they fired 30, 45 seconds, had time to reload, started again. I can guarantee you, if I'm in the room with you and that happens, they won't make it to that first magazine change. And when that does happen and you're in danger, you're going to pray that one of us gun owners is in that room with you to protect not only us, because I'm not, you know, yeah, I'm thinking about people around me probably, but I'm thinking about protecting me first and foremost. But in doing so, I'm protecting you. And that's something, you know, and it's this air that we've got that nothing will ever happen like this. Well, it does. And I've got a whole bunch of stories in here, and I'm not going to get to them because we're going to have Scott Hammond from Hadrell's Point in. But I encourage you to think about it, research. I'll try to get to a little bit of this maybe later on, maybe next week. Who knows? But anyway, those are some thoughts on that. Hang on through the break. We're going to get a wish list for Christmas from Hadrell's Point, West Ashley, when we come back. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, Christmas is always a difficult time for those who either draw a name or have a friend who's an outdoorsman. And you go to a store and you look around going, what am I going to get them? Normally I do this, but, you know, why should I do it when I got good friends who in business who can tell me their ideas? So we welcome Scott Hammond from Hadrell's Point. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing well, buddy. How about yourself?
Doing all right. Hey, I see you know what, really, this is totally off what we're going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
You and I were talking, our messaging earlier about, you know, the whole circle of the hunt, and because we're both hunters and fishermen. I just saw where Daniel and John are up at Tiblin with some mobility impaired hunters doing a hunt this evening.
Yes, sir.
That is so cool. You know what?
Is it not?
That
is
whole
not?
Giving
it's
back.
Fantastic. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's really what hunting is all about these days and all that. And if you're looking at it from a different perspective, well, then you're probably looking at it from the wrong perspective.
I was another friend of ours, Henry, he called me today about my anniversary, and I said, we were talking, and he said, you know, he said, and Henry's just started back hunting. What is he? Mm-hmm. You've taken him. He actually got a doe with you, which I thank you for. But he and I were talking. He said, you know, even now when I go, he said, I'm new at it. I'm excited. He said, but you know, I went hunting twice this week. Somebody took me, and he said, I enjoyed watching the fox squirrels.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's not
absolutely.
About.
I mean, that's what as a still hunter and stuff like that, and just as an outdoorsman, that's what you should be keying in on. You know, is those handful of hours of daybreak in the morning and the last light of evening and all that. That's just, in my opinion, that's the precious hours we're giving away from everything else, and just it's like hitting the reset button, buddy.
That's exactly right. And you and I need that reset button
quite often. Probably because we know each other.
That's probably true. Probably
might have
very
a lot
true.
To do with it. By the way, happy anniversary, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's like I said at the beginning of the show. I'm, you know, and you have killed some nice deer yourself. I probably make a very poor trophy, maybe a raghorn 5-point or something, not worth mounting. Oh man!
And probably gonna get to do a European mount on you.
Yeah, European mount. But you know, hey, you would get a pretty good freezer full of meat off of me.
That's exactly right.
Anyway, okay. Why should I do this stuff when you know what people come in and get? You see what's coming out in retail. Give me five things that every sportsman ought to have. You got in the shop down there.
Well, the number one thing right now that is just I've hardly ever seen anybody clamoring for these things like they are right now is the Yeti Rambler cups and Colster koozies and stuff like that.
All right.
You know, there's only a certain allotment each store is getting from Yeti,
right.
And we're getting in a monthly order that supposedly would last us a month and all that. It's gone in 36 hours.
Wow.
It's they're phenomenal products. You know, you can put ice in it in the morning, and the next morning you've still got ice in that cup. The only downfall I've seen to these cups is actually, you know, you put coffee in it at 6 a.m. If you intend on taking a sip by about 9 a.m., I suggest throwing an ice cube in it or else you may not have any taste buds left.
Now, see, I believe you. Most of the people I know, they're either sponsored by Yeti or they're going to buy it and stick to it no matter what. I believe you when you say there's ice still in it.
I'm not on commission and I'm not sponsored, my friend.
Okay.
It's just a legit product.
It's very good
and it's hands down the number one. Everybody's clamoring for trying to find it anywhere, anytime right now is those Rambler cups and koozies.
And that's something you don't have to be a hunter and fisherman. You just like a good cup of coffee. That's for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, as a hunter, I've got the 30-ounce one. I use it all the time, pretty much every time I go because, you know, I fuel up at the gas station to make the trip up to the property
of course.
And all that. I normally buy a couple bottles of water.
Right.
Well, now I just throw ice water in that cup right there and it's good all day. I've got my ice and everything right there, good to go. I don't carry a cooler or anything, just a big old cup mug. It works great.
And this is what you do when you hunt in the low country because it's still hot down there.
yeah. As a matter of fact, this past week, I think we almost touched 80.
There you go.
And the thermocells and mosquitoes are all still in use.
Yeah. Okay.
It's unbelievable.
Yeti Rambler, number two.
Yes, sir. Number two, the all-new Pin Clash spinning reels. They've only been out less than 2 months right now.
Okay.
Pin put a ton of research and development in these reels right here. It's their first machine gears reel that came out and all that.
Okay.
And again, it's been highly marketed. It's a highly sought after item and it's a great quality product at the same time. So, you know, especially in the saltwater market, you know, Pin's really known very well for their legendary durability
right.
and all that. And this reel is no shortcomings on that whatsoever, but they've also added just some phenomenal braided line features and castability features on it. That's made it fantastic.
Cool. What's price range on those things?
Those things right there, they're going to run you in that $159 all the way up to about $219 and all,
okay.
depending on what size.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Give me number three.
Number three, my personal favorite on this list, Elite Compound Bows. You got the hunter on your list that loves the bow hunt. He owes it to himself to shoot one of these bows.
All right. What's so
That's
great about it?
It's just the dwell zone and the back walls on these things, Roger.
Okay.
They're incredible.
All right. I mean,
it literally... I set you up, I put you in a bow, I do take all your measurements,
right.
basically custom fit that bow to you. Within 10 minutes on the range at 20 yards, I'll have you putting four consecutive shots in the bullseye every time.
That is good equipment, you know what?
I mean, it really is. It's a testament to where technology is going in all this, because I can assure you 15, 20 years ago, you didn't just pick up a compound bow, walk in the woods, and you were already deadly accurate with it.
Yeah.
it is the technology has really taken these bows just about to that point that I can work with you today, tomorrow morning you're hunting.
Cool. And I can assure you, when Scott says he can have you putting five in the 10 ring, he can do it.
It happens to be one of the things that I take a lot of pride in. So, yep. Yeah, I feel very confident in this.
Very good. Number four.
Number four, Penn International Reels. Again, Penn Reels known for their saltwater durability and all that. These International Series have always been available in that classic gold color. They've released the series in a beautiful gunmetal silverish color. Ooh. This year. Been something. You've got the offshore fishermen on your list. We've had quite a few people coming in, you know, wanting to offer something different. Does it catch any more fish? No, but it does fit into that style and profile aspect of it, which we all have a little bit of that in it.
Hey, it's not how good you are. It's how you look when you're doing it.
You got that right, buddy. You got that right.
And especially for those of who are really poor fishermen and hunters.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, I rarely have anything else to show off, so I at least like to have my equipment at least nice and shiny looking.
That's exactly
like that,
right.
You know?
Looks good in the
I've
pictures.
Been contemplating anytime I meet somebody to go bow hunting and all that, starting to armor all my bow a little bit just so it gleams a little bit, just so I look a little more important when I show up.
Ah, yes. We all have our moments. Number five.
Yes, sir. Number five, and this is going to seem kind of like a little sleeper on the list there, because most people don't think of this brand for this type of thing, but everybody knows Sperry boat shoes, Sperry Topsiders and all that. I mean, they've always led the industry and all that. Well, they've come out with a very, very cool duck shoe this year. They're phenomenally comfortable. Nothing against lacrosse and a lot of other brands and all that, but Sperry's done their homework on these, and it's kind of been, nobody expects to see kind of a hunting boot style from Sperry and all that, but these Sperry duck shoes have been fantastic.
And when you say duck shoe, you talking the rubber bottom, leather upper?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. We were in Sperry's back in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you weren't a low country fisherman if you didn't have a Sperry topsider back then, Roger.
Of course not.
I mean, obviously, I don't remember the 80s year as well as you do, but, you know.
I don't remember them very well.
Even though you were a lot older, right?
That's exactly right. I was there. I just don't remember a whole lot that was going on.
That's exactly right.
Oh, man. Well, that's top five. Now, Hadrill's has got pretty much everything else you want. You know, we talk about stocking stuffers. There are a myriad of things that you could find in the shop, from a package of Z-Man lures to an offshore gurgler to just whatever, you've got it there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we laugh all the time, as you never know what the heck you can find in Hadrill's Point.
Sure.
Which is kind of what we've based our business on for so long, is just, you know, having those off the wall items, little local items and stuff like that, and all that you just don't see everywhere.
That's right.
And that's what we've always based ourselves on.
And people can call in. Will you ship stuff out to them?
Of course, absolutely. You know, we got a website, hadrillspoint.com. Okay. We certainly do plenty of sales on there and all that. But, you know, you can call us at 843-573-FISH, and we can certainly ship it right out to you. Or better yet, you know, come on in, spend 30 minutes with
there
us.
You go.
We promise you won't be disappointed when you come in and kick the tires. We'll shoot the breeze with you, tell you a couple lies and stuff like that, and have a good time.
Always fun when I come through the doors. And, you know, if somebody doesn't know what to get, and it's not an impersonal item when it comes from a local shop, and that's a gift certificate.
Yes, sir. That is exactly right.
And you got them. That's a postage stamp back to you. And you've got, yeah, it's a gift certificate, but it's a personal one, because you go into Hadrill's and you pick out exactly what you want.
Absolutely, because you will receive personalized service here. If not, you let me know.
Well, I have a complaint. I don't get in there. I don't get in there enough to know whether I get good personal service or not.
I told you to try to quit that four-letter W word, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, well, you know, that 23rd anniversary doesn't run on fumes.
No, sir, it does not. No, sir, it does not.
Well,
you got to keep
Scott,
the groceries coming, too, because, you know, you're a pretty good-sized locomotive to keep running there.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. You know, watch the next time I come through those doors.
Absolutely. Bring it.
Well, look, Scott, I appreciate you doing it. As always, good to talk to you. Look forward to the next time I see you in person. And in the meantime, have fun out in the woods.
Absolutely, my friend. Anytime we can do anything to help you, Roger, you let us know. And everybody take care. You do a great job, pal.
Thanks, bud. We'll see you later.
All right, buddy. Bye.
And I'm serious. You know, Hadrill's doesn't sponsor this show. They're just a great place to go in when I'm in Charleston. And when you're in Charleston, stop in. I mean, you don't have to spend a ton of money to get good service. And the local Last Fishing Report, exactly what you need. You're not going to sell you 30 colors. They're going to give you a color that's working. All right, hang on, get through the break, come back. Who knows what we're going to do on the other side, but it'll be fun. Talk to you in a bit. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Let's get to some of this massive show prep that I did today on the terrorist attack, and I might as well use some of it while I'm here. The weapons they used were legal when they were purchased. Now, it's come to light that the two ARs that were used in it were not purchased by them. The two handguns were. And I'm not going to go into all the INS and visa stuff that, you know, pervades this whole thing. That is what it is. But the guns were legal. And this goes to the point that it's not the gun, it's the person. Guns were legal. And of course, the gun's going to kill you. Well, the gun's not going to kill you. I got plenty of guns that never killed anybody. They never gotten out of my safe room and walked outside and started shooting out the lights or whatever. It's a people thing. And these people took these guns and made them illegal. I mean, California's got some of the toughest gun control in the United States, hands down. California, state of Illinois, two poster child for gun control. And you see, I think I read an article, there have been 2,700 and something shootings in Chicago, just Chicago alone this year. They were modified. In California, you cannot have an assault, and that word gets me too. And they're all guns. I mean, what you do with them determines. They're hunting rifles and, you know, personal defense guns, and I guess assault rifles. If you use a gun to kill somebody else, you've used it as an assault weapon. They might have. In California, you cannot have more than a 10-round magazine. And there's a little thing on the California gun. If it's manufactured or sold in California, there is something called a bullet button on there. In other words, if on a normal AR, right-hand side, there's a magazine release button. On an AR sold in California, that is not a raised button. It's actually a recessed button, which is why you have to have a bullet, and they say, you know, a point of a bullet to drop the magazine. That's supposedly to keep you from changing magazines quickly. They also altered them to make them fully automatic, at least one of them. You know, it's a people thing. Yeah, that's a story from the ATF. Also, one of the first things that came out was this story. There have been 355 mass shootings in the U.S. this year. And you think, wow, how did I miss 300 of them or something like that? Well, it's all a matter of definition of what a mass shooting is. And there's differing, you know, how many people are wounded or. And this is an article, Mother Jones, editor. He's compiled an in-depth open source database covering more than three decades of public mass shootings. By our measure, and I'll go on to tell you what that measure is in a second, there have been four mass shootings this year, including the one in San Bernardino, and 73 since 1982. Well, what the news media won't tell you is the definition. The definition for FBI purposes is a single attack in which four more victims were killed. This is interesting. In 2013, a mandate from President Obama for further study of the problem lowered that threshold to three victims killed because there's an agenda out there. They want it to be a mass shooting that they can play off of because the agenda is gun control. And when you go through, and they say in here, when they went through to get those numbers, you know, they weed out like a kid shooting two of his friends with a BB gun, were some of those that are included in the 355 statistics. So, you know, you can, if anybody remembers statistics class in school, you remember the question you ask will determine the statistic you want. And that's what's been done here. But this is New York Times article saying, you know, no, there's not been 355. If you really want to get down to it, there's been four. Now, granted, one is too many, but more gun control is not the answer. Because like I said, it's just going to make law-abiding people defenseless while the criminals don't care. And kind of what's even, of course, you get the knee-jerk reaction. And what's so funny, what's funny about this is the people who are screaming the loudest really don't have a clue what they're talking about. And it would be more if they were informed, and it could be a slip of the tongue, but there's a Democrat Representative Sanchez decries multi-automatic round weapons. I'd love to know what a multi-automatic round weapon is, because I don't have one. I don't think I've ever seen one. Then you've got, you know, and you probably heard this, you know, Attorney General Loretta Lynch is out there wanting to prosecute those for anti-Muslim speech. Look, I could care less about your religion. I have mine. I am, you know, if you want to be a Muslim, that's fine. Just don't come over here and try to kill me. But she's got, and what's so funny about this one is former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh posted a video on his Facebook page challenging her to sue him. So we'll see what happens with that one. And we hear it often about gun-free zones. Washington Post article, gun violence declining except in gun-free zones. And this kind of hit close to home the other day when there was a threat on the Charleston Southern campus to shoot up a dormitory. And the first thing that came to my mind is my daughter's gun is up here. You know, she can't protect herself because Charleston Southern's a gun-free zone. Now, look, that's, you know, they have a police force on campus. They have a North Charleston substation on campus. I talked to the security office. Of course, I would do that. I talked to the head of security, and I'm fairly confident, you know, they can handle it. But it's an issue. You know, and I've often heard a lot of people say, you know, if we took our veterans who are coming home, who are having a hard time finding jobs, and we took some of the money that we waste in education and put it together hiring security guards for all these schools, veterans who know how to handle themselves better than the rent-a-cop, you know, you might not have this. In 1993, there were 7 homicides by firearm for every 100,000 Americans. By 2013, that figure had fallen by nearly half, to 3.6 per 100,000. That's according to the Washington Post. Breitbart pointed to this decline, explained it correlated with a massive increase in privately owned firearms over the same period. For example, Congressional Research Service showed the number of privately owned firearms increased from 192 million in 1994 to 310 million in 2009. I got another story on that that's pretty enlightening. And every time the politician says, we need more gun control, we sell more guns in the United States. And that's a good thing. And why can't I get this to come up? Oh, well. Let me try the other story I got here. On Black Friday, set a new record, Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, for it's not going to come up. Can you believe that? Maybe I have too many open. Let me close these all down right quick. We'll get back to a clear screen. Don't you love live radio? there we go. It works again. Gun manufacturing in the U.S. is exploding in new records. In 2013, the most current statistics available, 10,884,792 guns were manufactured in the U.S., a spike of more than 2 million over the last previous year. And and you think about what was going on in these time periods, Clinton, Bush, you know, 9/11, you know, the average 3 million, 5 million. 2009, 5.5 million. 2010, 5.4 million. 2011, 6.5 million. 2012, 8.5 million. In 2013, 10.8 million. You know, you can say all you want. Those guns are making us safer, whether you believe it or not. The FBI, the NICS, and don't be fooled when people say we need to close the gun show loophole and you know, universal background checks. There is a universal background. It's a national instant checks, criminal backgrounds check system. It's NICS. It's run by the FBI. Gun shows, when a gun dealer who has an FFL goes to a gun show, he has to run every sale he does through NICS. It's long been battled back and forth. If I go to a gun show with one of my personal firearms and sell it, that does not have to go through a background check. And that's the loophole they're talking about. But that would require me, to go through the same kind of background checks as a gun dealer? And yes, there are straw purchases. That's why I say it's not a gun problem. It's a people problem, because the people are the ones that are ruining. The Bureau processed 2,243,030 checks during the month of November. That's 236,000 more checks than the previous record set in 2012. And part of that was Black Friday. I think there were 175,000 checks done on Friday, Black Friday, after Thanksgiving. And I've got so much more. But what you won't hear about, and I'm going to skip over this because 2.5 minutes left. This time goes fast. What you don't hear about, and if you get, and the NRA does a great job, American Hunter, American Rifleman, America's First Freedom, the magazines they put out, what you don't hear the news media, and you'll never hear them say, is the number of guns you're used to stop violent crime. And in every one of these magazines, they have something called the Armed Citizen. It's usually a page. And it's just stories about ordinary citizens preventing crime. Most of it trying to be committed against them. When Ontario, California police responded to a call about a man with a gun, they were surprised to find an elderly homeowner who was holding a suspect at gunpoint. The man and his wife had been awakened one night by the sound of someone trying to break in their home. The homeowner grabbed a shotgun, chased the would-be robber across the street. When the bad guy turned around and threatened him, the older man fired a shot and held the suspect at gunpoint until officers arrived. That stuff happens every day, but you'll never hear about that. And I've got so much more. I guess one of the things is, this is here. The military, the police are not going to be enough to keep us safe. Never have been. We just never had to deal with this, and I don't hope this ever happens again, but we need to be prepared and to protect ourselves. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay. Enough gloom and doom. Minute to go. Chuck Norris. Back to old Chuck. And if you've ever seen those Jack Link commercials, those are some of the best commercials with Sasquatch in it. But here we go. Chuck Norris's lunch was stolen during a camping trip. No one has seen Bigfoot since. Oh, man, it is the world we live in. It's up to us to make it. It's not a guns problem. And it's over for another week. Get out there and shop local. It's fall. Take advantage of being outside. Beautiful mornings and evenings, sunsets and sunrises. Make time to get out there. Be careful when you can. Take the back roads. 176 is back open. Don't forget that camera. See you next week.